Hello and welcome to another episode of the Choose Strong podcast. We are your hosts, Eddie and Sally McCray. We are so stoked that you decided to download this episode because it's going to be a good one. This is part two from last week. If you haven't listened to last week's episode, you might want to listen to that one first, but you know what? You never have to listen to these things consecutively. You can hop right in anywhere because each episode is like, it's your own adventure. I mean, yep. I choose your own adventure choose many times because even though I'm looking at notes that Eddie has very meticulously structured and laid out for me, I'll probably deviate from them at some point or another.
Really? Yeah. You think?
Just like I have right now. I noticed that I was supposed to chat about something else, but...
Yep. Sounds about right.
Yep. Want to give a shout out though, Eddie, because I see that you want me to talk about Austin. I have just come back from Austin like an hour and a half ago.
Yeah.
Eddie picked me up from the airport. We went to Sessions on PCH. They are my new local sponsor, which is a West Coast deli and coffee place.
Yeah, I need to pause you really quick because I completely, about two episodes ago, butchered
Matt's name.
It is not Mike.
Yeah, it's
it is
not
Matt.
Mike.
And I was very confident and I was like, nope, it's Mike. And that is not true. It is Matt.
I was confident that it was Matt and you were looking at me, you're like, it's Mike.
It's
and
Mike.
I was like, he's not, he doesn't even look
that
like
was
a Mike.
My bad, Matt. That was my bad. Well, to be honest, I met two Mikes and a Matt that week. And then I had them all texting me and I had in my head, I was looking at my phone and I had a text that I had to respond to a Mike. And when you started talking about Matt and I was like, Mike was on the brain. So that's my excuse.
I get it. But, you know, no excuses, bro.
Well, sorry. There's an excuse. Come on. Anyways.
Well, first we just need to give a giant shout out to our listeners.
Yes.
Oh, wait, pause. We went to Sessions, West Coast Deli.
So confused already.
We had the most amazing crispy Brussels sprouts.
Those are delicious.
And some really good sandwiches, coffee, which I am still working on right now. And then we came home, said hi to Mackenzie, who's home right now, Bear. And we are now in the podcast studio. Mm-hmm. So... it's been a long day already, a long day of travel, but when it comes to the podcast episode, that is pretty important.
Absolutely.
And so that's why I'm here right now.
That's why I'm here.
Because the people listening are very important. In fact, I got to meet some of our youth listeners in Austin last night at the Loop Running supply store in Austin, Texas. If you have never been, make sure you visit Ryan and Pam. Great couple who started this shop. They do two run clubs a week. Tuesday, Thursday, they do a 3-mile loop. But last night, we had the pizza. We had drinks. We were giving away Apex Camelbacks. I secretly brought in three yellow hats. We gave those away. We had a wonderful turnout. A lot more people than I think we were all expecting. Very warm welcome. Got to make some new friends. And yeah, it was just a great time. So if you're ever in Austin, Texas, make sure you hit up Loop Running. Tell them that Sally McCray sent you. But what was so cool were the people that traveled far just for the event. I had some people travel 2 and 3 hours to show up last night. And that just really touched my heart, really meant a lot to me. But it was really cool meeting a couple kids last night. Got to take some pictures with them, and they listened to the podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I thought that was so cool. And so I know we all always start off with giving shout-outs to the kids. So a massive shout-out to our youth listeners. Eddie and I love you guys. And as always, we just like to remind you, kiddos, that you are very, very strong.
Yes.
And whatever little dream or goal you have in your head, we hope that you work toward it with all your heart. We believe in you, and we're so thankful that you're here listening too.
Yeah, that's awesome. Tell us more about the event.
So we were releasing the Camelback Apex Pro Pack, which is really funny because Koros has a watch called the Apex Pro, and Camelback has a pack called the Apex Pro, and they are both my sponsors. But anyway, this pack is awesome. It was not released last year, but it was the pack that I wore during my Grand Slam series. So every 200-mile race that I did, I was in this pack. And it's roomy, it's big, it's got a lot of pockets. It was able to hold all the required gear and then some. But one of the reasons why I love this pack so much is because of the technology that is in it. So it has Ricoh technology. I think it might be Ricoh, actually. But this technology is woven into the pack. And this technology is what search and rescue uses to locate somebody. And so it's in the pack. And so if something happened to you, you got injured on the trails, lost in the mountains, search and rescue is able to locate because of your pack.
That's cool.
So I recommend this pack to everyone just for that. Hopefully no one will ever have to use that technology, but it's kind of cool to have. And I knew I loved it when I was doing these 200, 250 mile races because, you know, you're out there sometimes and sometimes you're going 20 plus miles without an aid station. So, yeah, it's a great pack. And so that's what we were doing. We gave some packs away, gave some hats away, and just hung out, signed some hats, signed some books, and got to meet up with my good friends, Drew and Tyler, who live there. We got some content for my YouTube channel, which I wanted to just kind of bring to your attention, listeners. If you are not a YouTube person, maybe you don't go on YouTube very often, I do have a personal channel, not the Choose Strong YouTube channel, but I have a personal one. You just can put in my name into the search engine and you'll find it. But I like to put in glimpses of my training, everyday life, and also use that time to encourage you. Now, the episodes are only anywhere between 15 and 30 minutes, but if you like to get your workouts in on a machine, I already have maybe 20 episodes, series episodes that are in there, so you can check that out. But the episode that we recorded in Austin, Texas, on a track, will be going live, I believe, next week. And that will be very publicly humbling episode, which I joke around with all the time with Drew and Tyler, because so much of what I put out last year was very publicly humbling. But now that I am changing my training for Western States and needing to do some different things to get in shape for this race, I know that that's going to require me to do some different types of track workouts and hill repeats and things like that. So the last 2 years have been a lot of longer strength and endurance focused workouts. Now we're going back to more fine tuning the speed, getting that leg turnover. And I'll tell you what, my starting point is not great at all. So it's been really humbling. But I love to share these types of journeys with you. I love to share with you guys what I'm doing, what I'm building or chipping away at, as a way to encourage you in whatever it is that you're doing. As much as I'd love for overnight results to be super fit and fast just overnight, I know that there's a lot of building that goes into it. So I came out of my off season at the end of November and started doing some base training. And about 3, maybe 4 weeks ago is when I really started to step up and do some more speed training and kind of just get a baseline for where I'm at. So my baseline is not great. And I'm working on making that better. I have a coach now, which I haven't talked about yet. I soon will. I will soon share with everyone.
Let everybody know it's me. Just let everybody know now.
The comment.
I am coaching Sally for Western States.
You need to touch on that. Where did that come from?
I don't know. Someone, was it on the Instagram posts? Someone asked. Yeah. I don't think it was a genuine ask. I think it was like
this 100, is a new a follower.
Sarcastic.
No.
A sarcastic.
This was
comment.
A new follower that asked on my Instagram, Sally, who coaches you? Did you hire a legit professional coach or does Eddie coach you?
I love how that the qualifying is the professional or Eddie.
And I was like, I tagged Eddie in it right away. And I was just like, there is no way ever on this planet that Eddie can will imagine, ever.
Can you imagine if
ever
I was,
coach me?
That'd be such a train wreck.
So Ed, what should I do today? Run.
You know what? Why don't you just go for
run really far?
60 miles.
Minutes, miles,
or just however you're
kilometers
feeling.
Along the ridges.
I want to see a couple 400s and then a couple 100-yard dashes.
And then like,
like
a
what?
A cool down at 42 miles. Oh, man. Just something like that. I'm going to get you so strong.
Yeah.
No, that was actually, that comment made my day. Eddie, you and I were laughing a lot
about
that.
That was pretty funny. Yeah. That was funny. That was good. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, so you went to Austin. You released the Apex. And we're going to have a YouTube on what you did out in Austin for your track workout. So
we are.
It's a successful day and a half out there, huh?
It was successful. I would say that yesterday was a fairly busy day. We were at the track by 8:30. When I got there, Drew had brought a friend to film on a bike on the track. Tyler brought a friend who was going to pace me for a few of the intervals.
Okay.
So we had a whole crew there. It was really fun. Threw on some music. So we had Keith and Logan, my new friends, Keith and Logan. We were flying drone.
Nice.
We had, you know, bike with the camera behind. And then, of course, Drew and Tyler, the cameras too. So it was full production.
I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Then, I mean, this was like such a great day. Like we were talking about this. Then after the track workout, we went to Juice Land. We got smoothie bowls.
Okay.
And then after that, we went to Flat Wire Coffee, or Flat Line Coffee, I think it's called, which is incredible. It was so good. Sat there for a while. While we're all sitting having coffee, Tyler's best friend walks in, sits at the table with us. Travis, hilarious person. So we sat there for another half hour and listened to him tell the great, great storyteller. Then we took like a 60-minute break. We changed, rehydrated, and then me, Tyler, and Drew got on the Lady Bird Lake Trail.
Yep.
And we did a quote-unquote, quotation marks, recovery run for 60 minutes. Then we took a 45-minute break, changed out of those clothes, and went to Loop Running for another run. So it was a 20-mile day with a track workout inside of it. I was a tiny bit tired. I'm gonna say that. That's why when I messaged you this morning, I said, when I get off the plane, we are going straight for food.
Speaking of food, I don't care much about all the running stuff you did. Did you go to Terry Black's?
I didn't. We've been to Terry Black's. We went to another place that was so good. Travis and his wife, Sarah, told us about it.
Barbecue place?
Yeah, it was amazing. And I love meat. So
you
we had pork belly, we had brisket, chicken, we had wonton chips with all these different sauces.
They have the sausages.
Crispy
there?
Potatoes. We had like these corn fritter cakes. It was so incredible. I mean, just kept on bringing out dishes. So we feasted.
Yeah.
And then we talked in the parking lot.
What was the
like
place
11.
Called? Do you remember?
I don't remember because there's so many incredible restaurants, and it was like so late at night when we went because we didn't leave the run place till almost 9 o'clock at night.
Hmm.
So it was a long day, but you know what? Sometimes days like that just, man, they really like make your heart full.
Yep.
Because I got to meet a lot of really cool people and do all the things I love. I mean, I had a lot of great coffee and food and running, and yeah, it was good. But I was very excited to get home. I always miss the kids when I'm gone. You know, I miss you too, Ed.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. A lot of people were asking about you.
Oh, yeah?
They thought you were coming with me to the run club.
I wish.
And I was like, what? Eddie doesn't run.
Yeah, what? That would have been cool, but wasn't in the cards. Wasn't in the cards this time. Yeah,
you maybe were at next home time. Being a fantastic dad.
Yes, let's go with that.
Isaiah won his lacrosse game. You were there for that.
Yeah. Yep.
And you're here for the kids when they're doing their homework, getting dinner on the table. So
yeah, we didn't do the dishes, but we did.
You did not do food. The dishes, people. I got we home and the same dishes. Pile of dishes was in that sink.
I'm not going to lie. When I looked at the dishes this morning and I was like, ooh. I don't think I'm going to have time between now and having to go drive and pick Sally up. Yeah. So I think I'll just leave them.
Yeah. And you thought in your mind, you know what? Sally's a pretty gracious person.
Yeah.
Like she won't get upset at me because nope. I held down the fort while exactly. she was gone. Like exactly. she needs to be understanding.
She and can do
I
the dishes.
I totally was.
Yeah.
I totally was. Totally. I looked at Mackenzie and I said, Mackenzie, you get negative allowance now.
Yeah.
And she gets negative allowance. She owes me money.
Yeah.
Okay. You're what? Right. This isn't how we run our family. We all pitch in.
Yeah, we do.
So she's doing the dishes tonight.
We do, yeah.
Ken's, if you listen to this episode.
She does not listen.
She doesn't. Our kids have never listened to an episode.
No, she does not. All right, so let's move on here. That was your Austin update.
That was Austin. Apex you need to update. Come next time we do it.
I need to come next time because I want to go for barbecue.
Well, it's just, it's so, I mean, we were there a year ago. The whole family was.
Yeah.
And it's just a cool good place. Community. Yeah. Great running community there. So, yes.
All right. So, there's a few more days left of February. And what that means is that there are a few more days to be entered into the Strong Love giveaway.
Okay.
Sally, what are we giving away? I mean, there are quite a few things.
There is. We are giving away my good buddy, former teammate, Tim Tollefson.
Yes.
We have two 50K entries into the Mammoth Trail Fest.
And if you don't know, Mammoth Trail Fest is September 20th to the 22nd.
If you haven't checked out Mammoth Trail Fest yet, and you are the kind of person that likes destination, runcation type things, this is a perfect event to go to because it lasts 4 days. You're in the beautiful Eastern Sierra. And there's thousands of people that come in for it. And there's great food. There's great coffee. Great community. Lots of stuff to do each day. And it's very family friendly. So they have several distances you can check out. So even if you don't win that entry, I would love to see you there. Yes, I will be there. Then we are giving away a Bear Performance Nutrition package called the Sally Stack.
The Sally Stack.
Yeah, two people will get that. We're giving away 10 yellow hats and then the Do the Work package, which is merchandise from my store. It's pretty much a surprise and the winners will be contacted for sizes.
Yes. And so episode 47, we kind of told everybody how they can be entered to win. So
yeah,
you guys must go back to episode 47. To find out how to win.
Oh, that's so mean.
Unless that's you so skip mean. To this one.
Yeah.
And you're wondering how to, most people know by now. But anyways, yeah. Episode 47 details how you can be entered, and we are picking winners here in the next few days. So make sure you get on that, because there's some good things.
Yes. There's some good things, and also... this is the first time that we have given away this much stuff at one time. So, and I think we're going to continue this. I think the giveaways are really fun.
They are fun.
We love giving gifts. So, yeah, if you don't win this time, keep listening because throughout the year, the strong love gift giving is, it will continue.
Yep. Yep. And it's an incentive to stay current with these podcasts because if you are, you know, listening to them out of order or if you are, you know, listening to episode 20 because you're just 20 episodes in, you miss out. And someone actually on the Choose Strong podcast Instagram re-shared something about how they had to be current because all their friends kept tagging her in this post, and she says, I knew something was up. So she's trying to stay current now with the episode. So she gets the first dibs on what the giveaways are. All right, so that is the giveaway, and that's finished. Well, it's almost done. So we've got a couple more days.
Yeah,
a couple more days to get on that. And we'll be announcing the winners on the Instagram. All right, Sal, I think we should go ahead and maybe share a few like strong podcast love.
Yeah, let's do it. I love
some reviews that came in.
Yeah, and we I do have to pause you before you start talking about these three particular people, because as these reviews come in, it's been really cool to see that the people we highlight, they respond to us.
Yeah.
They get all excited about it. But I think that what you and I are finding is it is really hard to pick just a few. I think we could probably take a whole podcast and share people's stories, what they're working toward, how they're inspiring us. The community is super awesome. So I just want to say thank you for taking the time to send these reviews, if they're coming in form of reviews, or if these are emails or messages on the Choose Strong Podcast Instagram. We just really appreciate it. So thank you for taking that time. And Eddie, let's hear what you got.
All right. First one up is from Stacy from the Apple Podcast. She said some very nice things. She said, I've been following Sally for a while. I've read her book. I've watched her documentaries, and I love to see her adventures on social media. But listening to her and Eddie on this podcast has to be my favorite. I'm training for my first 50K, and this show has been my go-to long-run motivation each week. Thank you for sharing your heart, your advice, and your stories with us. I'm out here doing the work in large part because I feel empowered to do so with your hand on my back, voice in my head, cheering me on.
Oh, that's really sweet.
That is. I love Stacy, that. Keep doing the work. Thank you for that. Next one is Vinny. Vinny from Apple Podcasts says, I'm bringing you with me on my first half marathon, April 28th.
Yes.
I first learned about Sally on the Lift, Run, Shoot podcast with Cam Haynes. I've been listening ever since and have been extremely inspired. I also read her book, which is an amazing read. I just wanted both of you to know that I'll be bringing both of you along with me on my first half on April 28th of this year. I decided at 52 years old, it was time to start running. Thank you for the motivation.
That is Vinny, so awesome.
I love it. Best of luck, man.
Yeah, April first 28th. Half, let's go. That's coming up.
It's coming quick. We've got about
7 weeks of training left. So we hope the training is going strong, Vinny. And thank you so much for finding your way to our podcast. That's always really encouraging.
Yeah. Big props to Vinny and his training. All right. Third one we have is Heidi. She's also given us a little Choose Strong podcast love. This one's from Instagram. She says, I just wanted to let you know that I'm obsessed with your podcast, your Instagram, and your YouTube videos. I am not a runner. I live in Iowa, no mountains, and I am so inspired by you both. I love you both, and thank you for building a community and being so authentic. Heidi, we see you and we appreciate you listening to us, even though you're not a runner, man. I think that's pretty cool, Sal, that you're able to hit an audience that, you know, doesn't even run, right? Like, that's pretty neat.
Yeah. I know that was our hope when we started this podcast.
Yeah.
Use running as the metaphor.
Yep.
The running community is so big that, you know, we meet a lot of incredible runners, but we do love to hear from people that, you know, that are interested in other things. You don't have to be interested in running to listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
There's so much more in this that resonates with everyone.
Yeah, so. It's pretty cool that she was drawn to the community part as well, which is big to us, you know, really important.
That's huge.
Yeah. So I think that's pretty cool that she said that. Thank you, Heidi. All right. Let's highlight some Choose Strong listeners and the work that they're doing, whether it be strong love, strong mind, strong body. First one I'm going to read is from Sam. Sam emailed us and, obviously, I'm going to go strong body, strong love with this one.
Okay.
Sam says, hey, I just wanted to reach out and thank you guys for the things that you do. I'm having a hard time currently with a nagging Achilles tendonitis pain. Actually, it's been there since October. It was never very serious, but it kept me from running because of the fear of ruining my foot. It was exactly the right time when I found the documentaries of Sally and her 200 milers. And with that, I found the podcast and everything else. It gives me so much motivation to push through it. I put in the work and I choose to be strong, so I hit the gym a lot. As a father, full-time teacher, and a husband, it's difficult to squeeze in the training, so I have to get up at 4:45 to go to training before work. Or I train during lunchtime or short sessions in the evening. Anyways, during those times, I listen to the podcast and I use the trainings from Sally's app. Thanks for giving me hope to conquer my first ultra this year, or if everything goes wrong next year. All the best from Switzerland, Sam.
I love that. Okay, Switzerland, one of my favorite places to run in the world.
In the world. Sam, I just want to tell you right now, do not put diesel in a regular car. Just a tip from me to you. A tip from me to you.
If you know, you know. Throwback to episode 11, which is still ranked as our top 8 episodes of all time.
I've learned my lesson, okay?
It's a Switzerland episode. That's one of my favorite stories. Now we can laugh at it.
Now we can.
Then we weren't.
Laugh
then,
about it.
Then we
bit.
Were not laughing about it. But I love the Swiss Alps. Sam, thank you so much for sharing that story. I remember when, Eddie, you were a teacher. I was a teacher too.
Yeah.
That schedule is so deceiving. You know, people think like, oh, what? Teachers get off early. They have the weekends off. And I'm like, no, they don't.
Nope.
No, they don't.
Definitely
it's just
not.
That they spend between 2 and 4 hours prepping for the next day with the rest of time. And then they go home and grade papers all night.
Yeah.
And weekends are give or take. I mean, I don't think there was ever a night that you weren't prepping. You were a great teacher. You always changed to different grades, though, too.
Yes, like that was one of the reasons.
Third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, middle school. And so you were constantly prepping, learning new curriculum.
Yeah.
And then, of course, all principals run their schools different. So then, like, half of them wanted you to be a part of all of the clubs and run every sport because you're an elementary school teacher and one of the only males on campus. Mm-hmm. So you were, like, this superstar. But I vividly remember at this time you training sometimes really late at night in the garage because that was the only time that you could get your training in.
Yep.
And we all have a different style of training. I know you're not like the 4 a.m. let's go start hitting hard weights. I think it's you really have to find the time that fits the best in your life to train, or else you're not going to stick to it. So like you like to get up, cup of coffee in your Bible or your journal or whatever, you know, what you're going on for the day. You ease into the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember you would then go off to work. You'd spend an hour in the car to drive to school. And then all day at school, then an hour drive home. And when teachers spend all day talking to children. And then you get home and you have children and you have a wife like me.
Oh. Yeah. You said it.
The idea of getting to the gym is a whole nother level of struggle.
Mm-hmm. So true.
Like when people say that their teachers are like, they're working all day and they have kids and they're also the baseball coach or they have also a side hustle that they're working on too. We feel that deep in our bones. We're like, it's hard. You're not weak. I think sometimes is the message out there. You're not weak because you're not stoked to go work out.
Right.
You're not weak because you don't feel motivated to go put in 3 hours of training after your job. That's the wrong message. I think that people who live real lives and they are taking care of others and they, you know, they're working that job all day long and they're juggling other things. It's challenging to be consistent in a training program. That's usually one of the first things that we set aside because everything else feels urgent, important, and okay, if I don't do this, then I'll let down all these people. But I can let my run go because I'm only letting myself down. And I'd rather let myself down than let anyone else down.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you want to chime in on that idea because I think that's hard. It's a real topic that I think I'd say especially for parents, that's what they feel like is it's either or. I either let everyone down or let myself down. I'd rather let myself down.
Yeah, no, that's legit. I mean, that's a constant struggle, a constant battle. I mean, we see quite a few emails come across our inbox that people have that exact struggle, the trying to find the balance. It's always a big topic that people have questions about. And it's a difficult one to deal with. But Sam, sounds like you're getting it in, buddy, and it sounds like you're doing a good job and checking all the boxes of being a father and a teacher, a husband, and yet still getting your training in. And dude, best of luck on your first ultra coming up, man.
I love that.
Big time.
And I want to say to people that do just struggle with that too, you know, just kind of going back, it shouldn't be the decision of I'm either going to let them down or let myself down. I don't think that should be the choice all the time. It's realizing that it's just that we need to give ourselves grace and knowing that some days are busier than others. Mm-hmm. Some days we don't feel great. You just do the best with what you have at that given time. So instead of saying, well, I'm just not going to do anything because I need to do everything for everyone else or take care of these responsibilities, what can you do? You know, you are valuable. Your goals are valuable. Your health is valuable. Mm-hmm. That race that you're training for, that is valuable. The things that you love, that you're passionate about, hobbies, all of that is valuable. Some days you're going to have 10 minutes to work on that. Other days you'll have 3 hours. And so that's the way that we should go about it. And I love that Sam was saying sometimes he gets to train early in the morning. Sometimes it's just at lunchtime.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is after work. And just I think that is a great mindset to have. It does not have to be that if you don't show up every single day at 4 a.m. at the same time and put in 2 hours every single day, then you're not strong enough. It's like, that's not like life. There's not a lot of things. I can't really think of anything in life that is the same all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, you think of the way that a flower grows. You know, being a seed in the ground, it pushes through the dirt, it comes up, it blew all the different stages of life. Like, that's what we're doing. We are constantly moving through different seasons and stages in our life. And so things are going to look different from mm-hmm. day to day. So, I just wanted to insert a little bit of that encouragement
there. Yeah, cool. All right, next one is from Sarah. She reached mm-hmm. out on Instagram as well. She said, "Hi, Sally and Eddie. I'm training for my first 200. And I love listening to your podcast. Yesterday, I drove to the trailhead and I attempted to do a 10-mile trail run. However, the snow was too packed. And I live in New Hampshire. I decided to go home, recalibrate fuel, and just head out the door and do a long run on the road instead of the trails. I kept on thinking about what you say and your mantra, just show up and do the work. And that's exactly what I did. Throughout my run, I listened to the two of you, and it was great. Thanks for joining me on my run, Sarah." Sarah, well, we are stoked that you took us along on your run. And Sal, it's pretty awesome that she turned around and said, "You know what? Trails aren't happening today, but I'm still going to get out the door after I eat and get out there and do the work on the road." Mm. I like that mindset.
I love that mindset.
Solid work, Sarah.
Thank you so much, Sarah, for sharing that with us.
All right. Last one, we have Monica. She also was on Instagram. She says, "Wow, thank you for this podcast. I just stumbled upon it and I absolutely love it. Listening to episode 41 is mind-blowing. In 2022, I broke my leg, ankle, soft tissue surrounding my ankle, had two surgeries and 2 years of physio and hard rehab work. I was back to running. I was so hard on myself, feeling like I had to make up for lost time. But this year, listening to this particular episode, I realized that I need to be gentler and more respectful of all that I've done to get back to running. I'll be listening to all the episodes. Thank you so much." Monica got the strong mind
Let's go, Monica.
She's like, "You know what? Got to be more respectful, gentler. I like it. It's good stuff. Good stuff." All right. That's all I got, Sal, for the Choose Strong shout outs and the listener doing the work.
Thank you for putting that together too. I love hearing those stories. I know that other people are encouraged by them too. And thank you everyone again for writing in and sharing your lives with us.
Yeah. Yeah, we love that. I mean, that's part of the community thing, right? Where people are all doing the same thing, chipping away at goals and out there doing the work and putting in their time and juggling full-time jobs and families and yet still chipping away, plugging away at their goals. And that's awesome. We're always inspired by those. All right. Do you want to get into some questions, part two?
Yeah, last week we tackled some community questions. I think every time that you have put out, hey, ask us a question, we've gotten hundreds of responses. And so we're trying to work through those and make collections and organize them into, okay, these are frequently asked questions. So even though you might not be hearing your exact question, it was probably asked like 14 other times.
Yeah, exactly.
And so we'll just pick one when it's in the same category, and hopefully we can answer, you know, and help out just more people. So not all the podcasts will be like this. I think we really could probably just make a whole podcast. It's just about community questions.
Yeah.
But I really feel like with our collective experience and a couple decades in this sport that we are able to humbly share. When I say humbly, because we do not have all the answers, but just through our experience, we just like to share that. What's worked for us, what hasn't. Yeah, and hopefully we can spread the love around. So kicking off with the first one, Eddie, I'd love to hear.
This is not
for me. I think we should
both
answer this.
All these questions are pretty much for you, so don't even try to like ask me those questions.
All right, go ahead.
All right. The questions that I'm going to read are for Sally. And the first one, so most of these are... I stayed away from more Valentine's stuff. Valentine's is over. If we didn't get to the, you know, those questions, like maybe we'll do it next Valentine's.
Come on. We have at least one.
Well, I don't know.
Cause I'm getting a lot of those questions too.
Okay. Well, these are mainly running questions, but anyways, okay. First one.
Number nine though. So I'm just saying.
That's true. All right. Number one, what's your favorite way to recover after a hard workout? Is it heat, compression, cold?
Food.
Food.
Food is the number one way.
Oh, I thought you were joking.
Immediate. Oh, you're joking. Don't you know me? You too, though. It's like, now what am I eating? Food is probably the most immediate way that I recover. If I'm in the mountains, I'll have a cooler in my car. Usually packed with like a green juice, blueberries, some type of protein, whether that's like a to-go type container with shredded chicken in it or even just a protein bar. I'll have that in the car as I drive home. And then I will eat again when I get home. I also think it's really important to flush out the system and just start to hydrate. So I do drink this powdered drink, you add it to water, called Recover by BPN. And I love it. It's a watermelon flavor. It's got, I believe there's like BCAAs in it and some other stuff. And then as far as modalities go, we do have some like knockoff Normatec boots. Like I don't have the Normatec brand ones. I got them for Mackenzie. Like she had been asking for them. And so I found like they're a nicer pair off Amazon. And I'll use those sometimes. I wouldn't say that I use them regularly, though. And probably the most consistent thing I do is cryotherapy. Mm-hmm. I've been doing that since 2016. It has been 8 years of doing cryotherapy now. And it's 3 minutes in a chamber. I'm very particular about when I do it. I don't do it necessarily after hard workouts. I'll usually do it like I'm pretty strategic, and it'll probably only be like twice a week. I used to do it like 5-6 days a week, and then I read some research on how you don't want to take away the benefits of your hard work, because there's benefits in the breakdown after an intense training. And so you got to be strategic about cold plunging and cryotherapy and all that. That's why I never got into plunging either. Mm-hmm. I'm just kidding. That's not why. I really hate being cold.
Yeah.
I don't like cold water. So there's that. heat, compression. I used to be really into the compression tights, like back in the day, I'd say like back when I first started endurance running. I don't know why I stopped wearing them. I think what it was when I first started training, especially for ultras, I just noticed everything was sore all the time. Like my legs were always tired, my calves, Achilles, like just breaking into the scene, getting used to climbing and running up mountains and long distances and back-to-back long runs. That was a learning curve for my body. We're like, what is this? And then as my body began to adapt, it didn't see, I would recover better, recover faster. My body was getting stronger. And when I wasn't feeling that soreness anymore, then I just stopped putting on the compression sleeves and the compression tights. And I started to wonder if they actually ever worked, if they actually ever did anything for me. Was it that I was just getting fitter? And because I was getting fitter, I was also more conscious about my sleep, what I was eating, and my hydration. I really think that food, hydration, and sleep are prominent over everything. There's a lot of great things out there that make you feel better, more relaxed, and probably do loosen up your body. So I'm not against compression at all. I have the sleeves, yeah. I have tights, you know, the boots. Like I'm not against that. Sometimes it feels great to take a nap in like Normatec style boots, mm-hmm. and you feel like you're getting a little mini massage, and you're getting that blood flow going. But right now, the main modalities are just the most basic natural ones: eat, sleep, and hydrate.
Yeah.
On the daily, which this probably helps with my my recovery and sustainability, is most days a week I do some type of mobility workout. I have in my app, and you can download the link here in the show notes, I have a strength app, and there's a category called mobility. Check it out. My app's free for 7 days. It also supports this podcast, but there's several mobility workouts in there. Eddie, I have you do them all the time.
Yeah.
But especially the older I get, I've realized how important mobility is. And in fact, it's so important that I never even realized how tight I was in certain areas until I started doing mobility sessions, because it's so easy for us to get locked into kind of like a new position because mm-hmm. we're sitting all day. You kind of get used to tight hips, like you don't really know anything different. You get used to like your ankles being really tight and just everything a little bit tighter. And if you're running without any pain and you don't have like achiness, like you kind of just don't think about it. And when I started doing the mobility workouts and I'd get into these positions and into these stretches, I'd be like, whoa, like I'm really tight here, or just on this one side or in this one area. And then I started to notice that I was feeling better in my running. Hmm. I felt like my stride was better. I was able to open up my stride a little bit. I felt more stable every time my foot would hit the ground. I just felt like my balance, my coordination, everything just felt better. I was just moving better. So yeah, right up there with the sleep, eating, hydration is mobility.
Got it. All right. Next question. Can you please make a podcast a day? Y'all make every run more enjoyable.
We want our audience to stay with us, not get sick of us.
You don't want to hear us every day.
You don't want to hear us every day. No, yeah. I know some people do that. That's not uncommon.
The daily ones.
But I think what that would take for Eddie and I, for that to happen, is probably when our kids move out.
Yeah.
I think right now we're at this season in our life where, yeah, we're juggling a podcast, an app, an online store now, 2 YouTube channels, traveling and training and all that. But at the core of everything we do, our lives are really crafted around these last few years of our kids at home.
Yeah.
So, and we have a lot of, you know, Our schedule, I feel like already, because Eddie runs the schedule, it's mapped out by the hour. I mean, you have
pretty much
on top of it. I don't know where we could fit in a podcast a day, but
every day,
I'm not putting that past us. Because, hello, I'd like a show like Oprah every day. Okay.
I could see you doing that.
I love the Oprah show. My mom loved the Oprah show, and it was like, Oprah's on. And I remember when she would do her giveaways, and I would watch that show all the time.
Everybody's
I love
heads
that
are exploding.
Show. What was the other one? Was it Sally Jesse Raphael? Was that she yeah, had? She had one. A show. There was
Jerry Springer.
Donahue. Oh, I never watched Jerry Springer. Come on. Okay, I watched some of it sometimes, but it was you knew it was just not wholesome, uplifting.
Someone's getting in a fight.
Yeah, someone's getting in a fight. It was pretty entertaining. I'll tell you that. Yeah, you know the talk show days. Man, I miss those days. I mean, you just like sit down and they'd have some cool guests on, and there was a time in my life that I wanted a talk show. That would be super fun.
I think you'd be good at it, yeah.
A daily talk show is what I'm saying, because I think what we're doing right now is pretty much a talk show.
yeah, but I think you'd be able to pull a daily show off for sure.
It would be fun. You know, I talk about different guests and stuff too, and we do have some guests lined up here pretty soon that I am excited about. Yeah. We're going to start bringing on some more guests onto the show, friends, people that, that we think will be really interesting to the audience. So that's coming up in just a couple weeks.
Yeah.
I'm excited, but I know that is something we during my off season, Eddie and I actually, I don't know if this is wise to discuss this, in a lighthearted
way. You're going
way.
Off script
in
again?
In a lighthearted way. Different like arms of the show that we wanted to do.
Oh yeah.
So maybe we will.
Maybe. Never know. Never know. All right. So
Eddie, what is something that you love to do that has nothing to do with fitness? Question's for you.
Nobody cares about that. Nobody. They're
People
asking
care.
You.
People care about
so
you.
So I'm going to ask you, Sally, what is something you love to do that has nothing to do with fitness?
Okay. Do you realize that somebody asked me that? Somebody asked me that yesterday at the running loop. And I said, write.
Oh, yeah.
I have loved to write since I learned how to start writing.
I've write a book.
Oh, I've always had a journal. So, yeah, I love to write.
All right. So take writing out. Like, that's not an option.
But outside of fitness, thing? I mean, yeah. I don't know. Some people would call this fitness. But, like, I absolutely, whenever I travel, wherever I go, I mean, this has been a pastime that you and I have shared, but even when I'm by myself, I absolutely love walking down main streets, whether it's like an old historic main street or a popular main street in a big city. And I love getting coffee and going to a bookstore. One all-time favorite around the world pastimes. Like that is like, I know it sounds like so simple and basic, but...
No,
date night,
it's a good
yes.
Answer.
Like that's like my favorite date night.
It's a good answer.
And you and I did that for years when we were both dating and early in our marriage.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm obsessed with bookstores, especially old ones, like one-off ones. Not, you know, it doesn't have to be a big box bookstore, but there's just something about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, it's a good answer. I like that one because that would be a similar answer if people were asking me that. All right, here's one. Actually, it's worded as if it's to you, but I can answer this one. What part of Canada is Eddie from?
Yeah, that's for you.
From a fellow Albertan. My family is from Toronto, and I got an aunt still there. And then I have some family.
You need to say how old your aunt is.
She's 100 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
so
that's
your
great aunt.
She's definitely not my aunt. She's my great aunt.
Yeah, it's your dad's aunt.
Yeah. my Aunt Lois.
Shout out to Aunt Lois McCrae.
Shout out to Aunt Lois.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And your dad and your aunt and uncle went and visited her last year.
Yeah, they did.
And said that she was just... sharp as a knife, and
you know it's got to be a weird feeling when your body is breaking down, you can't do much for yourself, but yet you're sharp, like mentally,
yes.
You know, because she sits there and is able to read the paper every day, and but yet she can't do a lot of the things physically that you know a normal person can do.
Well, she was a nurse, right?
Wasn't she a nurse her whole life, and she's still plugging away.
Those McCrae genes, man, they are strong.
I mean, I'm not to be like demented at all, but man, I better not ever live till I'm 100 years
no,
old.
No, you stop right now. I do hope
not
you
want
do.
To live that long.
I hope you live no. forever.
I do not want to live till I'm 100.
I hope you live forever. Do you know what song that is?
Can you keep... So you sing the whole thing. Let's do that.
Oh, all right, man. Moving on.
So your I'm not done with Canadian. That question. So I have family out in Prince Edward Island now. They've moved from Toronto out to PEI, and I have not been out there to visit, but I've definitely been to... Oh, Sally, come on.
Geography.
Jeez. If you look at a map and you look at like Maine, north of Maine...
Okay, yes, Prince I Edward, know that.
It's off,
I knew
off the
that.
Coast. It's way over there.
I was just seeing if our listeners
knew. Yeah. Yeah so. Good one. So, yes.
Not me thinking and telling people that your family was from Quebec.
Are you serious? Oh, my gosh. That's embarrassing.
Don't they just speak French there?
Wow, so. All right.
I mean, I now still pronounce our last name wrong. So
I know.
I've been a part of the family for like over 20 years.
It's not McRae.
I am not a good representation of the McRae family.
It's not McRae. It's Mick.
It's Ray. Mick Ray. Mick and therefore, Ray. Everyone spells our last name wrong because of me.
Yeah.
It's usually M A C R A E or M C C. Yeah, that's the most popular too, one, yeah. M-C-C-R-A-E.
You're right.
Because I say McRae or McRae.
Yeah.
But it's McRae. McRae.
McRae, yes.
Pausing here for a quick message from Inside Tracker. The path to better health isn't rocket science. It's health science. For something as valuable as your health, there's no reason to leave anything to chance. So whether you want to improve your heart health, cognition, metabolism, sleep, stress levels, or overall health span, Inside Tracker reveals the exact areas of your health that need improvement through comprehensive blood testing, DNA analysis, sleep and fitness tracker data, and your current daily habits. Inside Tracker's scientists have shifted through the research so that you don't have to. So stop playing guessing games. When it comes to your health and longevity, you can save 20% on all of Inside Tracker tests with the code SALLY at checkout. This episode of Chew Strong is brought to you by Manucora Honey. And if you have been a listener for any stretch of time, you know how much Eddie and I love honey. So we are very excited about this one. It is getting colder. It is time to think about presents for the people you love, and the miracle of nature just fell on my lap at the perfect time. And that's a rare super honey that is 100% natural and has some unique properties. Manucora makes Manuka honey, a single origin honey that comes from New Zealand, where the bees only feed on the nectar of the Manuka tea tree, making honey that is pure, rich, and complex with a creamier texture that is on a completely different level from the normal honey you find at the supermarket. You can use it as you would any other honey, but what puts the super in Manuka honey is that it's super rich in antioxidants and prebiotics, three times more compared to regular honey. On top of that, it contains an antibacterial compound called MGO that can be found exclusively in Manuka honey. The bottom line is that these nutrients really support your optimal immune and digestive health, and it's delicious. This is the perfect way to treat myself with something that is going to keep me strong through the colder months, and the perfect gift for the people I love to keep them sweet and healthy too. The 850 plus honey has this creamy caramel texture that melts in your mouth and is unlike anything I've ever tried. I can grab a spoonful out of a jar, which I've been known to do many a times. I can put it in my favorite beverage or squeeze some honey out on some toast or oatmeal. I personally like honey peanut butter sandwiches. So delicious. If you head to manucora.com/Sally, you can get $25 off their starter kit, which comes with the MGO 850 plus Manuka honey, a free travel pack honey stick, a free wooden spoon, and also a free guidebook. It's the perfect gift for a loved one during this season. Now, I love the jar and squeeze bottle, but the extra pack of compostable honey sticks is perfect for whenever you're on the go. You can bring them with you when you're traveling or if you need a quick snack running errands, and they're the perfect energy boost if you're out for a run or at the gym, especially in this time of year. That's manukora.com/Sally to get $25 off your starter kit. This is just the ultimate honey. Indulge and try some honey with superpowers from Manukora.
All right, moving on. Number five, what are your average sleep hours?
That was a plural statement right there. So
six for me.
That, really?
I'm going to go six.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Mine is way better than it was even 4 years ago. My average used to be, and Eddie can confirm this, 4 hours a night.
Yeah.
I'd say for half of our marriage, most of my childhood. That is not healthy.
That is not healthy.
But I will say, I am also grateful for that too, because I was able to do a lot on little sleep, and it has translated well into the ultra world for me.
True. Yeah, you're right.
So
now we're
right now I'm between 7 and 7.5. Yeah. Even if I wake up and I'll look over and see like, oh my gosh, why am I wide awake and I've only gotten 5.5 hours? I make myself stay in bed.
Yeah.
At least for until I get like 6.5 in bed. I'm just trying to discipline myself to like keep the heart rate low and stay rested, because as soon as I'm up, I am up, and then I go nonstop until about like dinner time. I feel like once I'm making dinner, like I start to relax. Yeah. I start to relax, and like that's like my favorite time of night when the whole family's home and I'm in the kitchen cooking. We all look forward to that. But once dinner has been eaten, I'm done.
Yeah, you are.
We're not doing work. There's no negotiations
see
happening.
See that pile, guys, on the count? Clean it up. I'm out of here.
I'm usually the first one starting my night routine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Way better about sleep. It used to be the other way around, where once everyone was in bed, I would head out for a run.
Yeah.
And I would run for 1 and 2 hours a night.
Yeah, and I think it's back to, you know, that analogy with the flower, right? It's where the season of life you're in. You know, try to get the sleep where you can, and you got to work out when you can. But now you have this season where now I'm able to get to bed at 9, or, you know, so there's always these seasons. But yeah, for right now, 7, 7.5, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I'll be honest. If I had to go back into the routine that I was when the kids were babies in preschool age, which was they needed me all day.
Yeah.
And so, and I didn't have consistent. We didn't have a housekeeper, or I'm not housekeeper. We didn't have like a nanny. Or a babysitter. And then your siblings, we all had kids at the same time.
Yep.
So it wasn't like you could, you know, call upon your family every single day to come help with the kids. We all had babies were everywhere. So yeah. I knew that a lot of the scheduling I'd have to figure that out and still, you know, take care of the kids all day. But I think we found that it had to be super early in the morning, 4 a.m., or it had to be 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. But if I still had to do that right now, woo!
Yeah, that's rough.
If I had to go start a run at 10 o'clock right now, yeah, that would be a little harder. But I also realized that when the kids were little, I wasn't doing a lot of the things that we're doing right now. So, you know, I love that the seasons change.
Yeah.
I love that we get to lean into and be flexible and embrace every part of the path that we're on, you know, and so just to encourage people, my sleep, I'm always working on that. My schedule, I'm always working on that. But I'm always hopeful and okay when things don't go my way or when things change, because I'm like, yeah, that's how I've always known it to be. You just do the best with what you have. So
yep. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. This is more of a, not that the other ones weren't serious, but this one is a little bit more of a serious question. It says, how do you learn to believe in you again? How do you break the mental limitations that you hold?
That's a great question. I feel like I need to break that question down into two parts. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is two questions, but like really focus on each one by themselves and start answering it all at once. So learning to believe in yourself again begins with first going to the root of why you don't. Why don't you believe in yourself? Mm. And having this conversation with people in various seasons of my life, whether that was when I was a teacher, a coach, I was a women's ministry director for a while. I've counseled people to a degree. I feel like so often we have limitations and we don't know why. We don't know where they come from. That's just how we've always thought of ourselves. And sometimes that relates all the way back to just what we've thought of ourselves as children. And maybe we didn't have encouraging people in our life that nurtured us in that, to believe in ourselves, to see ourselves as valuable, to see that there is a purpose in every single day that we wake up. And I also believe that there are barriers in our daily life that we may not understand as being actually significant issues that are causing that disbelief. The wrestling and the struggle that people have worldwide with comparing themselves on social media is very real. Mm. And I think it's a topic that is talked about all the time. And you even see hashtags, no filter, Instagram versus reality. Like, we make reels and videos about that.
Yeah.
But as humans, it's very natural to be competitive and to compare. I mean, that's just natural. I mean, animals do that. Mm-hmm. You know, animals are territorial and they are aware of who is around them and who's the bigger animal and who has what. I mean, that's just part of being a human, is you are aware of maybe what you don't have, what you do have, what you wish you have. And it's easy for us to put judgments on ourselves and criticisms on ourselves, especially if we don't ground ourselves in something.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like to encourage people to first do that. Instead of just giving you this quote, this happy, feely, feel good statement that might make you feel good for a day, we always have to tackle the root of why we believe the way we do. Why do you look in the mirror and you don't believe in yourself? Why do you look in the mirror and have, when you look at the person looking back at you, why are there limitations that you're putting on yourself? And address those. And I think that it's also important to note that every human struggles at some point in their life with their value. I don't remember which podcast it was that I was listening to. It may have been Cam Haines or Joe Rogan or Nick Bear, or like, so it was one where they were talking about a bunch of CEOs of like these big companies, like entrepreneurs, and they were all at like this event together and they were like all in the green room. And what was brought up by this person that was being interviewed was, he said, I couldn't believe how many people in the room had imposter syndrome.
Hmm.
Some of these people were multi-billionaires that had started up massive companies. They were outward facing, very successful, wealthy people that had done a lot of great things in the eyes of, you know, the business world and just success, right? And yet they felt like they didn't belong, or that they would be found out, or that they weren't valuable enough, or that they needed to do more. And I thought, I don't think that many of us can ever escape that. And I think that it has to be a renewing every day. Now, regardless if you are a person of faith, if you believe in God, or you know what it is that you study, I mean, this is for me personally, I really believe in rooting myself in God every single day. And one of my favorite verses in the Bible is his mercies are new every morning. And I love that. I love that every single day that I wake up, it is a new day. It is a new start. I can't change what happened yesterday. I can't control what happens tomorrow. But a new day is a new gift. And when I ground myself in that and realize that if I get to live another day, there is actually a reason and a purpose for that. It doesn't need to be some earth-shattering event that's going to happen that makes my life, purposeful. Being alive is full of purpose and a great gift. And so that's where I find my value. That's where I root myself day in, day out. And also being very aware of the things that seem to poke at me, tear me down. I know for me, I spent a lot of years struggling with self-esteem and confidence because after my mom passed away, all that was left was a dad who I didn't have a great relationship with, who said a lot of very unkind things to me. And the way that he treated me made me feel like I had no value, that nothing I could do in my life would make me worthy of his love, would make me valuable to him, would make me worthwhile of any of his time. And when you grow up with that, it's not like just because you move out of the house, it's just gone. I mean, I struggled with that for a lot of years. And once I was aware of that, that's when I had to go back. Okay, let's tackle the root of this. What is true and what is a lie? And the lie is always that you are worthless, that you are not as good as that person, or what you're doing isn't as valuable as what they're doing, or your effort, it's not as good as what their effort is, and your goals and your dreams, and it's that putting yourself down. Those are lies. And the truth is that you are valuable and you are loved and there is a purpose for you every single day. And you are worth fighting for and you are worth moving forward in whatever it is that you're doing in this journey of life. And this comes down to your relationships. This comes down to your career. This comes if you're a parent, if you're in college right now, working toward a degree, that we all have these seasons that are rough, that are hard, that are not motivating, that are crushing. And I think that if we can always come back to that grounding and remember who we are and the value of who we are, it's going to help us get through these tough times. The second part, this is how do you break the mental limitations that you hold? Again, very personal to me, but the first and foremost way always, every single day, is prayer. I'd say that was probably the number one thing. If you watched any of the documentaries of my 200-mile races, that's usually what I was doing when I was going through a lot of pain and discomfort in those races. But I'd say that at every stage and season of my life, that has been the way that I have broken through mental limitations, is letting go of the things that are limiting me in my mind and looking to something greater is ultimately giving me strength. So yeah, we have to tackle the truth. And sometimes the truth are things that we don't want to admit, we don't want to see, we don't want to think about because they're too hard or they're too painful. We might feel embarrassed or ashamed or, it might just be something that's just hard to talk about. But I think when you get down to the roots and you understand in the first place why you don't believe in yourself or why you have mental limitations, that's where you begin to grow. And I know I already used the example of a flower.
Yes.
But a flower has to push through a lot of dirt in order to bloom. And I love that analogy so much. Because I love flowers. I just love to even just go to Trader Joe's and buy myself a bouquet because one, they're cheap there. But there's something about putting out fresh flowers in your home. Even if that bouquet was $3, I just love doing it. But the reminder of how that flower came to be and how beautiful it is in your home and the joy that it brings and the beauty it brings to a room and the uniqueness of every single petal brings a lot of joy into my heart. But that flower couldn't have gotten there had it not been able to push through a lot of dirt. And so know that whoever wrote this hymn, that as you grow, you might experience those seasons where you're pushing through a lot of hard stuff, dark stuff, challenging situations, but it's worth it because you're beautiful, beautiful like a flower. You're meant to shine, meant to bloom.
Love it. Awesome. Good answer. Now, I have a follow-up question for you. You said you went to Austin to do the loop running loop club running. And to do the Apex Vest, but are you sure with all these flower analogies that you didn't go out and do some gardening or like gardening? You're just dropping these flower analogies like they're fresh.
Oh no.
I like
we
it.
Just dive I like straight it. Into number 9.
Let's go.
Yeah, because I really want you to kind of take the reins and answer this one.
I'll take the reins.
And I think our listeners need to hear from you, Ed.
All right.
I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that asked about you last night at the
Ask
run
the
shop
question.
That literally was like, oh, I was hoping to meet Eddie.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Well, that's
so not true.
No, you have a lot of fans and people that want to wear your skin. So I don't know. I just feel like
that's weird.
No, but for real, there is a lot of very kind things that were said about you and
they were just trying to say that so they can get that yellow hat.
Yeah, is that what you're thinking? No, it was already given away. All right. So the question is, with everything that we do together, do you keep soul time to yourself or are you together 24/7?
Oh man. All right. Want me to
can
answer
you imagine
this one?
If we're together
24/7.
We probably could be 24/7, actually.
Yeah.
I feel like there are some weeks where we are.
I feel we do a lot together, right? Obviously, because we work together and but so there's so much going on during the week that we have to be together to do and to pull off. And, you know, podcast is one of them. And, you know, there's just so many different things. But I think we are good about recognizing, okay, you need to take a break or you need to get some solo time. And so usually I can recognize that in you and I'm like, all right, Sal, why don't you take Friday and get yourself up to the mountains for the day.
So true.
And, you know, don't think about work or anything. Just go enjoy your run, enjoy the mountain.
Translation, dear God, please get yourself to the mountains. Get out of here. Distance yourself from me. Maybe 10,000 feet up in the sky would be good.
What I really am saying in my head, please, for the love of God, can you go Friday?
You so much. I scheduled 9 hours at the spa for you. It's kind of, I know, I'm amazing.
I know you're going to go to the mountains Friday, but do you want to just go till Sunday? You can just stay there. Do you have a tent?
You know, you don't need a tent.
Actually,
you
just run the whole
just
time.
Just run. Maybe right now.
You have the Apex vest that has the Reco stuff, right? You'll be
literally,
good. You'll
literally go get lost. Please get lost.
Oh, man. Oh, no.
But Eddie's good at sensing when, I need my space. I actually think that I probably need more alone time than Eddie does. I know I come off as like super extroverted. I'm a typical introvert extrovert. So like in crowds, I love talking to people, but I could probably run 600 miles and not be as exhausted as I am when I'm in a group of people mingling.
Yeah.
It absolutely wears me out, but in a good way. It's not anything I ever dread.
The reason is because you are invested in whoever's chatting with you, right? Like they are the most important thing at that moment. Their story matters, whatever's going on in their life. Like you want to hear it, experience it, and feel it. And so that alone, when you do that multiple times over a course of 2 hours, you know, and you chat with 30 people, you know, that's draining.
Or 100.
That's, you know, that's draining. And so, I mean, it'd be one thing if you were, you know, just
it's taking the best a picture. Drain, though.
Yeah. It's like, it's, oh, cool. Like, yeah. Cool story. Let's take a picture. But you're not like that. You're all in and who that person is. And, and so I think that is extremely, extremely draining. And,
well, I think it takes a lot of courage for people to make the effort, one,
yeah,
to show up,
sure,
to whatever event I'm at.
Yep.
You know, they're getting childcare or they're leaving work early. You know, yet there's a few people yesterday driven several hours,
yeah,
to come to a 3 mile run club.
Mm-hmm.
I don't take that lightly. And I know for you and I both, just like having a family, running a business, like I'm trying to get training in, like sometimes even when it's our best friends, we're like, oh, I don't know if we can meet with them for dinner tonight, you know? And it's like, it takes discipline to make commitments. But then I think on the next level is, I think it takes a lot of courage to go up to a stranger and hope that you'll be received kindly.
Yeah.
That to then share maybe something that's personal to you, something that matters to you, that takes a lot of courage. And I do not take that lightly at all. And I've had a lot of people in my life who have mentored me, who have listened to me, who have encouraged me, who have taken the time to get to know me, and it's changed my life. And not that I think that I am needed in that way, but I think that as humans, we should make ourselves available to each other to encourage and to love one another. It's not about us. I know that when I go to these events, it's not about me, but there is a reason why they want to have a conversation or to meet. And if I can in turn offer any type of encouragement or kindness, like I'm stoked I get to be a part of that.
Yeah.
But I think the greater impact is that when people walk away and they feel loved, they spread it.
Sure.
You know, I really do believe it, you know, spreading love, it's not the sexy solution in our world. But I will tell you what, when people feel loved, they make better choices. When people feel loved, they do great things because they are secure in that love and they believe in that love. And so they want to do things that are kind and they want to speak kindly and they want, so I feel like it's such a strong, powerful action that creates so much good. So if I'm just a little domino among millions, heck yeah.
Yeah.
Like that's the way I see it. I don't think I'm a bigger domino, a more powerful domino.
Yeah.
I don't know how many days on this earth that I get to have.
Mm-hmm.
Life is so precious and every day I get to have is a real gift. And man, I really hope that each day I live that I can make an effect on someone, because when I'm gone, that's how I hope to be remembered.
Yeah.
Someone felt loved. But that's really cool because it's like anyone can do that.
Sure.
That doesn't take talent. It doesn't take a college degree. It doesn't take money. And I think that's what I'm seeing too with the Choose Strong community. You know, I go on that Facebook page and it's like, wow, everyone is so encouraging on here and people are like helpful. I mean, I have talked to so many people that have said things like, oh yeah, I met someone on the Choose Strong community and like, we're both doing this race or, you know, we met at a running group. And I'm like, dude, that is the coolest thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if you work at something, you know, it's good when you don't have to be around in order for it to be good.
Yep.
It's not based on you.
Yep.
It's just like, hey, let's spread this idea.
Yeah.
The other side of that, Eddie, because the question we asked was about spending 24/7 together.
Yeah.
So I would just love for you to expand on when you like to, because I admire when you go and spend time by yourself, or I'll suddenly get a picture from you.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned from you, you've taught me this unknowingly, the importance of just pausing in the day.
Yeah.
And knowing, I think it's like, we always have work. We always have something to do, but you're so good at like, either the sun's rising or it's setting, and I'm going to go and just take 20 minutes and walk on the pier or walk along the shoreline. And I thought you'd expand on that. I think that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. That's like I was saying, we have so many things that we're doing throughout the day that we need to chat about or be together with. And so, yeah, it is for me, I just have to check out for 30 minutes at a time. And sometimes that is during the day or in the afternoon where I'm going to go for a walk outside and look at the ocean or go to the pier, like you said. But yeah, I think for me, it's grabbing those 30 minutes and then at night, you know, just shutting off and getting a book out or like putting on Sports Center or whatever is like another time for me to just kind of zone out. And then, you know, I like to, well, Friday I got invited by my uncle and my dad to go play golf.
Let's go.
I haven't played in almost 3 months because of my back. I think I'm going to try.
Are you going to gamble that before your marathon? Because you have a big run coming up this weekend.
I'm going to pause
on that, though, because I want you to finish what you're talking about. I want you to finish.
No, I haven't played in a while, and I miss them. I miss playing. So I'm gonna be wise out there with it, but I'm gonna go out and do that. So that'll be another thing. That's another thing I like to do, that, you know, to get out and play some golf and not think about work. So, yeah. That's my answer, Sal. That is my answer.
Well, we have in this house a awesome podcast studio that you've built, which is also your office.
Yes.
And we get some sunshine in our backyard that hits into our dining room, which is pretty quiet, like when the kids are gone.
Yeah.
Yet you still pack up your bag. You do this too. You'll pack up your bag and go work somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Because I look around and I'm like, I should probably take care of that. Or I need to go put that upstairs. Or I need to, you know what I mean? My mind, like, I can't focus. So I gotta get out and yeah. But yeah, so I like to, because I know I'm going to be like back at the house, you know, all night and I don't know, just all day in the house. Like I need to change it up, you know.
Now, 2 weeks ago, speaking of spending 24 hours together, I think we joked about this, but we came together and we're like, we have to have like a little more discipline in our daily structure, in our daily just timetable, I guess, like where we're spending time, which I already feel like you and I, we get a lot done each day. I think collectively, you and I can both be kind of hard on ourselves and just want to accomplish more, which is a very American thing.
Yeah.
Like Americans are great at turning off at 5 and not working on the weekends. You know, it's really easy for us to just 7 days a week, like, here we go. And I think for anyone listening that runs their own business or has the opportunity to work from home, when you don't have a boss that has set up that structure for you and is expecting you to check in and check out at a certain time, and this is when weekly meetings are, and these are the deadlines, and you are in charge of all of that, it's kind of easy to not get lazy. I don't want to use that word. I don't think it's laziness. It's just sometimes the loads hit you at in waves of what you want to accomplish, and then other things pop up that it's easy to get distracted.
Yeah.
And either add more to your plate or, wow, how did the last 3 hours just go by?
Totally.
But what is notorious, and yes, I'm very specific about using the word notorious. To you and I is, let's go out for second coffee.
Yes, second coffee.
So we had to like...
Or third.
We had to have like a sit down talk and be like, all right, so we're distracting each other. Because honestly, I can't say no when you say you want to go out and have coffee. And I can't. Like it always sounds good.
Well, and I'm on this new thing where, I would just, you know, here's my thing.
What's your thing that I don't already know?
Here's my thing.
Tell me.
Okay. Here's my thing. You know, I'm a good, like, cup of coffee, throw some half and half, and just this always sounds good, right? Like, I'll never, always. If it's 5 p.m., I'm like, yeah, I could do that. If it's 10 p.m., I'm like, yeah, I'm good. Yeah, let's go for it. That always sounds good. But then I, like, got turned on. I think you helped me with this one, but it was the oat milk latte, vanilla.
Oh, this is my fault.
Oat milk lattes.
Yes.
And started really vibing those things and drinking those a lot. And, you know, my new thing is the cappuccino.
I turned you on to cappuccino.
Milk cappuccino.
I take credit for that.
Yeah, well done, because I feel a lot less, first of all, it stays hotter longer.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it's less milk, it's foam. Milk. I used to be a barista. The difference between a cappuccino and a latte is what, babe?
Wait, what?
The difference between a cappuccino and a latte is what?
Is the amount of milk, and it's steamed in the cappuccino.
Foam. It's basically...
I actually don't know, I guess.
It's basically milk foam and an espresso.
Okay.
So you're getting a little tiny bit of milk in there.
Yeah.
But a latte is steamed milk with a little bit of foam on top.
Okay.
So you're getting a lot more milk in a latte.
Yeah, because when I would have the latte, I'm always feeling a little bloated.
Yeah.
Later on.
A little?
A lot
bloated. I mean, I'm just kidding.
A lot bloated.
I'm like calling you out on how bloated you are. You're like, wait a minute.
You look a lot more bloated than you say. But yeah, so anyways, cappuccinos, man, are where they're at right now. They are just light. What is going on over there?
It's disgusting. There's water in this mug, but I don't want to call it so funny. A little bloated.
Anyways.
I was going to comment, though. Now that I'm having you do these double-digit runs every weekend, I'm like, you actually need to start drinking like whole gallons of milk, dude. Start to look like you were when I first met you your freshman year in Biola. Well,
stop telling me to run so far.
People were like, oh, are you and Eddie, you guys like each other? And I remember saying this one time. This is like Eddie had a second growing spurt from freshman year to sophomore year. Is okay if I share that?
Oh, Biola, yeah,
well, we're
already
sharing.
Go
so.
For it. Yeah. You're just deviating from the notes again. I'm used to it.
Guys get to grow for more years in their life.
Yeah.
Girls pretty much stop growing by 18.
They're done, yeah.
They might grow a tiny bit in college, but like for the most part, by the time you leave high school, that's like you're pretty much at what you're going to be as an adult for the rest of your life. Guys, no.
Mm-mm.
Like they still grow in college.
Mm-hmm.
And that was definitely you.
Yeah.
I you were such a cutie pie when I first met you.
I did not grow at all.
But I was bigger than you. I was bigger than Eddie. And I remember telling my girlfriends that. They'd be like, you and Eddie would be so cute. You guys are such good friends. You're so hilarious together. And I'm like, I will not date a guy that I am bigger than. I just cannot do that. Then you came back your sophomore year. And I was like, well, well, well. This is a different story. Looking good, Eddie James McRae.
All right, I think we're getting off topic. We should probably
wrap
this up.
We're not looking to turn it all bright red.
I think
no,
we should wrap this up.
Yeah, Eddie has a 23 miler coming up this Sunday that will be his longest run and your last longest run before the LA Marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to, this is going to be a race assimilation type training run. But I will say that once we've implemented these big double digit runs, I've noticed your body is just changing shape. You're getting fitter. I feel like your energy has changed too. I don't know if you've noticed that. I feel like you have like this renewed energy. It's been really exciting to watch you. This has been like a really consistent training, for the past few months. And I'm so excited for you. This weekend, if you have not tried this yet, listeners, and you are a runner, one of the things that when I was doing online training, I don't do online training anymore. We just do the app. But one of the things I would always recommend to my athletes, especially in the weeks as they got close to the race, was that you do race assimilation runs. Actually, it's like a whole weekend of it. So Saturday night, Eddie is going to eat the dinner that he plans to eat the night before he runs the LA Marathon. He then is going to get up and eat the exact same breakfast that he plans to eat and the exact same time that he plans to eat it before the start of the race. His run will start at the same time that the LA Marathon begins. Do you know what time the LA Marathon begins, sweetie?
I do not.
You need to go on that race website. You look at all those details, okay?
Yes, I do.
So this is really good too. And I know this is not a common thing, so that's why I like to encourage it. But always go on the race website. Look at how many aid stations do they have. So some bigger marathons will have them every single mile. Some will do them every other mile. Another way that marathons will do it is every other mile is when they give out nutrition and calories, or some marathons will pick, like, you know, they'll usually sponsored by a brand. They'll have key aid stations where they're giving out goos and gels and maybe, you know, high carb blocks and things like that. So go and study the nutrition sponsor that the marathon has, where their electrolyte and carb loading aid stations are, how many aid stations they have, find out what time the race starts, make sure you know exactly where that start line is. All of these things are going to make your race day not only go smoother, I mean, that's like the obvious thing, but I'll tell you what, many of us, even if we've been racing for a while, we still get race jitters and we second guess ourselves and we stress ourselves out when we feel like we're out of control, so to speak. So if you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't practice my nutrition, and like, I'm pretty sure these are the shorts that I wanted to wear, and you know, and if you don't have all that stuff dialed in beforehand, you can, those things can stress you out in an even greater way on race morning. They can feel magnified on race morning because you built up race to be such a big thing in your head. And so the wise thing to do is to start practicing all of those routines, from the gear, the food, what time you're gonna get up in the morning, starting your long run at the time the race starts. Start doing that in the weeks leading up to your race. And I'll tell you what, you are gonna feel so much more relaxed and in control and confident at the start line. That has nothing to do with what, you know, what pace you're going to run the race. But when you are organized, when you have everything well planned that you are actually able to control, it just makes for a completely different experience. And so that's what we're doing with Eddie this weekend. I'm going to try and find him and get on the bike probably about 10 miles in. We're going to practice some nutrition. I think we're going to practice a calories per hour strategy for him and just kind of see how that goes. I know last week, Eddie, you ran 20 miles and people were asking about that. I saw so many people giving you kudos and comments and on your Strava. I thought that was the raddest thing, but let us know how was that for you? That's the furthest you've ever run in your life.
It was long. It was a long time out there. I'm not gonna lie. I was at mile 15. And I was like, all right, I think I'm done. I think I'm over. I'm over this. So,
and everyone listening is like, that sounds about right when you're training for your first marathon. Oh, yes. Because in the actual marathon race, typically, I don't even like to say typically. Miles 16 to 18, when people don't feel great or when they bonk, that's usually around the time that it'll be.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like every person that lines up at the start line, that's what they feel. But I know when I was new to marathoning, that was always where it was for me. There's just something about that, you know, 16 to 18 miles where you're like, this is hard.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah.
This would have been a great 16 mile race. I don't want to go 10 more miles.
Yeah. When I knew I had five more, I'm like, oh man, this is, I had to stop and gather myself and like, oh man, I got five more to do. This is, I think I texted you. I said, man, this is, I'm hurting. I got five more left, but.
And then I sent you an audio message.
Yeah. You encouraged
Coach Sally.
Me. Coach Sally stepped in, got me through the last five, but.
And then Mackenzie, I sent Mackenzie out on her bike.
Mackenzie found me. But yeah.
Team Eddie, man, was in full, full effect. Head. We were really excited.
Got me through.
We're all checking Life 360. Where's Daddy?
Yeah. Is that a burrito shack he's at?
That's the second time.
No, but I think I'm a little nervous about 23. I'm not going to lie, because that's another very far distance. And
It's just 3 miles.
It's just 3 miles. That's it. But
we can do anything for 3 miles. We can crawl. We can do cartwheels for 3 miles.
Can you imagine 3 mile cartwheel?
Be a lot of vomiting going on.
Yeah. All right. So.
Well, that's this weekend. That's on this weekend. Sunday.
Yep.
Will you tell everyone where you're going to start and end so that we can get the Eddie fan club out?
Yes, I will tell you
on
when
the
Huntington
Beach pad.
I will tell you when I know. I did realize I just pulled it up.
There have been people on the path though that have been waving and cheering for you. Yeah, I think that's super cool.
Nice
if you are in Orange County and you see Eddie out there this weekend, feel free to give him a fist pump as you run by. He probably won't stop and talk to you. I'll just be honest. I'm just going to put that out there. He will be savoring every breath of air
coming
in.
Might be a great excuse
and out of his lungs. Yeah, or it could be that. It could be that.
No, talk longer. What else do you want to talk about?
So break down step by step how you make the lasagna. Okay, what ingredients?
Wait, where did you grow up? Tell me, how was that? Start at age 2. I know you're 87. It doesn't matter. Just go. I want to hear all of it.
Eddie, where were you? I was being a good friend out there.
I was listening. I was listening.
Running communities about community.
You always stress community, Sally. So
it's not always about running, Sally.
You always said it's a metaphor for life, and I wanted to hear about this guy's life, okay?
All right. Well, we are off topic once again.
I think we should wrap this up. And Sally, why don't you take us out here and tell the people that are still on their run right now that they are doing a great job, that they are plugging away, doing the work, and that we are encouraging them, cheering them on, rooting for them. And what else?
I think it's one of the first times I felt you like actually empathizing with people that are running right now.
Yeah, because
like
now
deeply.
I've felt it. I've been there. I know you feel. I know
like the pain,
what's
the
going
painful
on.
Side of it, the
yes.
aching side of it. Like
yes.
you actually kind of beat your fist on the desk right there. Like, come on, guys. I am inside my warm podcast office with my cup of coffee saying,
yeah.
yes, go, keep going. It's worth it. You will get to the end of this and you're gonna be stoked.
Yeah.
And that was something I think I said to you in the audio message I gave you.
It was.
I sent Eddie an audio message and I said, this is a part of it. I know it's painful right now, but I'm so grateful that you're experiencing the hard part right now so that it doesn't shock you so much on race day.
Yeah.
I think that's a hard thing to embrace on race day is like, whoa, this is a new feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of scaring me. And it's also something I really don't like. But when you then understand like, oh, this is actually just part of the pathway to reach the finish line. These are the pieces that actually show me how strong I am.
Yeah.
I love that saying that you have overcome 100% of every challenge, 100% of the challenges, the discomfort, the losses in your life. That's true every day. When
yep.
you wake up, you've overcome it all.
Mm.
That's not to say that you didn't like it. It wasn't negative. You hope it never happens again. But it's like, just remember, you are an overcomer.
Yep.
And if you are out there running in the snow, in the rain, in the wind, and negative temperatures with ice and snow all over your face and your eyelashes, or you are pounding away in the basement on that treadmill, you're lifting weights. Someone messaged me and said they were sewing.
Ooh.
You are... whatever it is that you are doing right now, it is worth it,
yeah.
even if it feels mundane. And for those of you that are running, putting one foot in front of the other, Eddie and I are very proud of you. You just need to hear that. You always need to know that every time that you train. I said earlier that I have a coach. I haven't announced who that coach is. I'm super grateful to be on his roster, and so I kind of want to announce him in a special way. But I know that having a coach is just, it's such a great feeling. It's having that back and forth, someone that believes in me, that's paving a path for me to follow. And so Eddie and I just, we want to be that to you right now and tell you we're proud of you for putting in the work, for showing up today. And regardless of how you're feeling, your actions and the work that you're putting in is incredibly valuable. And you will be better at the end of this. You will be better at the end of this session. You're gonna be a little bit stronger, a little bit fitter. And I know that later on today, you're gonna be like, yeah, I got that done. Now, if you weren't able to get out today, you know, Eddie, we have a lot of people that are actually hitting some injuries. This is the season where a lot of people are getting sick. Mm-hmm. We want to encourage those people too, because our daughter actually was sick for a few weeks. She missed her first race at track and field. And I had to sit down with her a couple times and say, this is a part of being an athlete.
Yep.
You can't force your body to heal faster as much as you want to. I mean, she's really upset having to miss that race. But I said, you're going to go out and be the best one to cheer and to be an encouragement to your teammates. And then you are going to learn how to be the best at taking care of your body. So she was going to bed early. She was drinking her green juice and her ginger shots and her water each day and really taking care of her body. But she didn't feel well for like 10 days. And I think that for those of you that are overcoming and working through injury right now, or you're just in bed not feeling great, we hope that you have hope in your heart, knowing that you are going to heal. You are going to get better. You are going to get past this. And these are the seasons that strengthen us. These are also the seasons. I know every time I've had a down time in my life, that's also where I've had the most time to reflect and really think about things that are important, but I never had the time to think about them. The time to be grateful, the time to reflect and count all the things that were good, and also to take that time to plan my steps for what I wanted to do next. So nothing is wasted. No day is wasted. Your days aren't wasted because you're sick or you're injured. It's just a shift of perspective where now you get to work on something else. All your days are valuable. And so we just want to leave you with that right now. We appreciate you listening. We hope that you enjoy the rest of your week. Eddie and I are always rooting for you, and we hope that you keep choosing strong in all that you do.